When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I was flipping through the channels the other day, but there was nothing good on, I had nothing to play. So I went to my computer and realized that there was so much content before my eyes. But there's nothing but Netflix in my heart and on my screen. There's always something good that I still haven't seen. But maybe one day we can try.
Is back here for a huge episode, not just talking about the number one TV show in all of Netflix, but also to kick off our 100th episode of Nothing But Netflix. And now we are back here with my co-host here for 100 episodes, a lover of the Ravens. Here he is. It's Chappelle. Chappelle, how are you?
Rob, happy 100 and happy spooky season. We made it. I'm very excited to talk to you about this particular show on Netflix. But I'm also excited just to be here and kind of just bring in episode 100 with you. I didn't realize we had been doing this so long until only a couple weeks ago. I was like, Rob, you know, we're coming up on 100. We going to do anything special?
Yeah.
And I think spooky season is special to me. I have my candy corn right here.
Yeah, we started this in the fall of 2021, and here we are. Look at us now, okay? Talking about the fall of House Usher, and this is going to be about the premiere, so just like an introduction into the fall of House Usher, where a lot of people are talking about this, and of course, we love when we can throw it to our sister network over on Post Show Recaps, because Post Show Recaps is going to cover the entire series in a podcast. And so here with us to talk about it, one of the podcasters that will talk about all of the fall of the House Usher, here is Ariel. Ariel, how are you?
Yeah. I'm so excited to be here.
Not that Usher. Not that Usher.
Yeah. Listen, I watched the whole first episode. It was all about Usher. Did I watch the wrong thing?
I think you missed it.
Yeah. But I'm so honored. I can't believe I'm here for episode 100. That's incredible.
Happy to have you here to talk about it. What is Post Show Recaps going to end up doing with the fall of the House Usher?
We are going to be doing new show for Post Show Recaps. It's Binge, full spoiler recap. And it's myself, LaTanya, who covered all these other Mike Flanagan, who's the showrunner of this show, show's last spooky season. So it's the anniversary of that, four shows, and Grace and Jess, who host that show. So the four of us are going to be talking about the whole season, eight episodes. It's very exciting because I've only seen the first one.
Okay. And then when you all get together, it's going to be one podcast that's going to recap the whole series?
Yes, exactly. So it's going to be simple. So.
Okay. All right. So we're just telling you a little bit about what we watched here, watching the premiere of The Fall of the House Usher. There's too many thes. That's my number one complaint here. It should just be Fall of the House Usher or The Fall of House Usher, but it's The Fall of the House Usher. Chappelle, who has two thes?
You know, I don't know. That first the is not the problem. It's really that second one. The Fall of House Usher is tight. You keep it tight, you know?
Yeah. And I guess this is probably, this might be, we have to take it up with Edgar Allan Poe. Because this is the thing that I didn't really know coming into this. I knew it was spooky season, but I didn't really know it was spooky season kind of meets Succession and also with like major dose of Edgar Allan Poe. So all of the chapters here are all based off of Edgar Allan Poe's stories. And so Edgar Allan Poe was the originator of the short story, The Fall of the House of Usher, which the series gets its name from. So far be it from Netflix to drop a the.
Yeah.
In the 1800s, they were like using all the thes. Now we're like, drop the the.
Yeah, drop the, let's keep it simple, you know, but no, here we have The Fall of the House Usher, which is, what is this, the fifth installment of the Flanagan series?
Yeah,
the Flaniverse. Yeah, Ariel, are you familiar with all of the Flan works?
Many works of Flan, yes. Mike Flanagan, been doing this show for years on Netflix, signed a deal to move to Amazon Prime, I believe it is, to do Stephen King, The Gunslinger. No, that's the name of the book. I can't remember the series that he's doing. But this is his fifth and final show for Netflix, so it's like a big deal. This is his goodbye. The first two shows were, you know, The Haunting. It was The Haunting of Hill House, which is my favorite, Haunting of Bly Manor. Then he did two Midnights, Midnight Mass and Midnight Club. And this is the fifth one. And all those, like I said, LT and I covered all of those over all of October. We did one a week, each of those shows, one episode last year. So that was really fun to get into. And and people are talking about this more, I think, because it's his last one. So it's like even more buzzy than it would be normally.
Yeah. And there's just so much promotion for this, especially coming out in October. It's an ensemble cast here. And so I think this is going to be one that is going to be on a lot of people's screens this weekend. Chappelle, I really enjoyed this. I did not know what this was coming into it, but I feel like I'm going to go and keep watching it.
Yeah, I got 20 minutes in and I checked the time to see how much longer we're in the episode. Cause I was like, this is really good. I was surprised because I like spooky stuff, but I'm not like living for any of the scary stuff. I did enjoy Midnight Mass. That's my favorite of the Mike Flanagan stuff. It was so good. I enjoyed it. It was like a slow burn and then you were in it and it was kind of twisty. I loved it so much. So I came in very like positive minded for this and it did not disappoint. 20 minutes in, I knew that I was going to finish the rest of the series, but I wanted to wait, you know, so that we could talk about this in a bubble with no spoilers and that we could all just make predictions or whatever the case may be for this. But it was really good. You said Succession meets spooky season, and I really picked up on that as well.
Yeah, I feel like that it's Succession, but I feel like, Ariel, it's also Knives Out. I feel like, you know, we have like this like wealthy family and there's a mystery and somebody is doing something that they shouldn't be doing. Who in the family is the person who's on top of it? So I think that there's some really fun elements here in The Fall of the House of Usher.
Yeah, and I think there's a quote unquote real world mystery, like who the informant is, and then there's the mystery of like this, you know, supernatural force that may or may not have killed all these people. And that's one of the things I love about my favorite, The Haunting of Hill House, is like, it's actually a really good family drama that happens to be horror. Mike Flanagan's at his best when he can do like, he layers the things on top of each other, right? Like the horror is like a metaphor or whatever for the real things going on. So I think in this one, you have a lot of his favorite cast members to bring back. It's a little bit like, I was thinking about this, it's a little bit like American Horror Story, where Ryan Murphy brings back a lot of those same actors. Flanagan does the same thing. Like literally his wife, Kate Siegel, is one of the siblings. She's always in it. She's beautiful and such a good actress. And Bruce Greenberg and some of these people are new. Like Mark Hamill, that's crazy that he's in this. I forgot he was in this. But a lot of them are returnees. So it's always nice to see like how they're playing against type, even within like this broader universe.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a major ensemble.
They're in all the other stuff, Rob. You know, like literally this entire cast, except, you know, like Ariel was saying, Mark Hamill has been in all the other, or at least two or more of the other pieces. the woman who I think plays his mom in this one is in a couple of them. Is that Carla Gugino?
Carla Gugino is like the scary woman.
That yeah, she's a scary lady. Right.
His mom Eliza. Yeah, she's always in it too.
Yeah, I think Carla Gugino was in Midnight Mass. I recognize her as like the judge or something. So yeah, all these people are just getting their spins here. And so I think this is kind of like a, I won't say a final, you know, bow for all these people, but it does kind of feel like it.
So the plot line that we get here in the first episode, that there is this big Usher family, and Roderick Usher is the patriarch of this family, played by Bruce Greenwood. And mysteriously, there are members of the Usher family who are dying. And we don't really know what's going on here in terms of like why so many of them are dying. And at the same time that the Usher family is also this like pharmaceutical giant, that they have a lot of like corporate interests, and they are also under investigation. And we're seeing where the main character, Roderick Usher, is kind of going to confess to everything he knows finally after being sought out by the government for some time.
Yeah, over the course of the last 2 weeks, he's lost six family members. There have been like unexpected deaths and like freak accidents. There's been a murder, suicide, you name it. It's happened to this family. And now Assistant Attorney General or whatever, DuPont is on the case. And he goes
now it's
to,
really like Knives Out.
Yeah, totally.
Exactly. And he goes to Roger Usher. He's like, hey, I finally got you. You're surrounded. We're here. Tell me what happened. And Roger's like, okay, I'll tell you everything. Let me tell you about my kids. Let me tell you about my mom. He's like, I know what, pause. That's not why we're here. I'm here to get some information about you. I want to put you in jail. He's like, yes, but I have to tell you how we got here. I have to start at the beginning. And so we start this whole thing with a flashback to his childhood. And we see him and his sister, Madeline, when they are dealing with their upbringing with a mom and with a, I won't say surrogate father living down the street, Ariel.
And he wants nothing to do with that. and they're kind of playing a little bit fast and loose as you go. Like, they never say he's the dad, but like, you know, Madeline, who as an adult is played by Mary McConnell, who I love from Battlestar Galactica. But yeah, he's the dad, and he wants nothing to do with them. But the mother worked for him, so it's all like really shady, and he's just a bad person. He talks about kids. He's like, you should never be like, kids are made more tender when you beat them. Like, they're chunks of meat. It's not a great look for him. He kind of gets what's coming to him by the end of the episode.
Yeah. And the mom, she worked for this man Longfellow, and we see like we bounce around through time a lot. I mean, we flash back just in this first episode to 1953, 1962, 1979. So it's really like we're time jumping all over the place, which I think is also like very fun and interesting as we're going through the timeline of this House Usher. But Chappelle, there's like a supernatural element that gets incorporated to this pretty early on.
Yeah. So, yeah, even with the time jump, I mean, this is present day. I believe they started off November 20th, 2023. So it's actually in the future. Yeah. No, it's just supernatural enough. But yeah, the moment we enter the home of House Usher, where it is what you would call a haunted house, just at looking at it, the thing is, it's a disgusting place, right? This man is the heir to a fortune. He's the CEO of a huge company, and he has his man pull up at the raggediest home, and you're already thinking, okay, it's got to be something like spooky going on about like here, right? There's got to be. And we even get one of the moments where he looks, I guess he's at the funeral for the most recent three deaths of in his family. Of his children. And he looks up at the balcony and he sees a figure up there, but then she disappears. And then when they look back, she's gone. So yeah, they already set the foundation for, we're about to get spooky. And when they go back in the past, the entire thing is spooky as well. Everything dealing with mom is kind of like eerie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so the mom has a sickness that we don't really know. Did they say what is wrong with her?
They don't. I mean, besides the fact that she's very, very religious and does not believe in any kind of like modern medicine. You know, she talks about pain as if it's like a kiss from Jesus and the hilarious line of like, well, Jesus kissed the F out of her when he killed her. We don't really, like you said, Rob, we don't get like the nature of her illness, but she dies and they decide to bury her because she wouldn't want to be, you know, cremated or like put somewhere, you know, in like a public cemetery. They bury her in the backyard, but that doesn't last very long.
She
comes up out of the ground and during a thunderstorm, which is like totally normal and fine.
Yeah, that's the problem with the home funerals. I mean, there's really like nobody there to like really call it, you know. Sometimes you're just mostly dead.
Well, they were talking. They're like, Mom, okay, I think she's dead. I think this is the one. Okay, cool. So what do we do? Well, she wouldn't want to be embalmed because that involves medicine and science and all kinds of stuff.
It's a good thing she wasn't dead.
Well, I mean, had they taken her to get embalmed, they would have figured that out. But
that's true.
because they took it upon themselves, they carried her down the stairs, dragged her out the door, and then they took their shed apart to make a coffin for her then buried her.
This is very DIY. Do you think this would make like a good reality show? Like, how impressive can you make a like casket out of home materials?
Yeah, this could how be like one coffee. Of those Netflix shows, I think.
I prefer How to Build a Sex Room. It was a little bit more fun, but I could see this as well. You know, like giving these household items, how can you get rid of a dead body? I'm sure somebody would watch it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, could you convert your shed into a tomb?
I think that's probably the better move here. You put her in the box, you put her in the shed, you never open the shed again.
Yeah.
But then the shed smells and you can never go.
But you never open it. You never open it. It's a tomb.
Some of these sheds can get a little dilapidated. So this could be sort of like a good repurposing.
Well, they took it apart.
Shiplap is hot.
Yeah, they took it apart. So they would have really had to go in the shed, dig a hole in the shed, bury her in the shed, and then just leave the shed as if it was like maybe put some flooring down or something like that. Yeah. Then no one ever has to know. But she bursts out of it very quickly. I mean, I don't even think they get through the night before she's like, yeah, I got more things to talk about. And I said, oh, did we?
Right.
Did we misdiagnose her? Was she really alive?
Yeah, but
they don't have privileges.
So yeah, she's not dead, or she's undead, and she is on a mission, and she goes back and murders the man who was her former boss. And Ariel, I feel like that we kind of just like yada yada over this. We don't really spend a lot of time explaining what happened to her or what they did with where did Mom go from here.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like it's the quote unquote the last thing she ever did was to kill, you know, the Longwood guy. But to your point about
Longfellow.
Not really explaining a Longfellow. Yes, thank you.
Who's Longwood?
They never really explain is it undead, like you said, or is it that they really had it wrong and she was just, you know, in a coma or whatever. But it almost doesn't matter. Like, it matters to us, as viewers. But like, I like the idea of it's like a super, she's been overtaken or she was granted like one last energy burst in her life to take out this like horrible person who had done this wrong to her. It feels like, you know, that murderous revenge thing feels very hateful, a little bit Edgar Allan Poe. And you know, she got it's not just that she kills him. It's that by killing him, she secures her children's future because her children are his, you know, his heirs. And that's the most important thing about him is he's the, you know, the owner of this pharmaceutical company. And that's how, you know, the children and who become the adults in present time have inherited this large company.
Yeah. I mean, Chappelle, was this like a last gasp for her that she like went off to go and do this?
It did feel like it for me at first. It felt like, okay, this woman is undead, right? She died and now she's gotten up and she's like zombified or something, right?
Like a thriller situation.
Yeah, very much so. Ha 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 ha. And so she walks down and then she murders the guy and then she dies for real. And I'm like, okay, so maybe this isn't a zombie. Maybe she just had a little bit left in the tank.
The doctor said it was a heart attack. Like, well, you know, there's multiple dead bodies here for one heart attack.
Yeah, they covered it up for sure. They're like, oh, your mom died. We're not going to talk about that. But this very rich, you know, pharmaceutical guy, he dies and we have to cover that up. But, you know, these kids had not been claimed by him. So I'm really interested to know how they kind of got from bastard kids down the street, from down the lane to now heirs to the fortune. Because at that point, at some point, they have to make a claim that that is their father, right? I mean, his wife was right there when it happened. But someone has to verify that these kids are indeed his blood relatives, right?
Where's Maury?
Or did he just leave it in the will? Ariel, do you know anything?
He's the father. I just got the result. I'm playing this Maury video game.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think when the money is this, you know, the money is this exorbitant. It's just, it has to be true.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. Also, that we see in the confession where Mr. Usher, Roderick Usher, is trying to say that, like, hey, turn around. My mom is right behind you. And he's like, I won't do that.
Yeah, but I kind of wanted him to, right? Like, mm-hmm. You wanted to know if he was lying or not. We have no reason to believe that the mom is right behind him. I mean, we do keep seeing this shadowy figure popping up at the top of that church, but it's not like we see mom like throughout. I think it's kind of like the air of there's somebody spooky lurking around is there. We see a couple like jump scares. And so I thought that this was going to be a big moment, but for this guy, Dupont, to just not turn around, that was a bold move. He's like, you know what? I've heard about these big business negotiation tactics where some businessman will be like, oh, let's just make up a moment to where I can get you to lean in or turn around or throw your eyeliner to the wrong place. You're not going to get me with that kind of stuff. I'm like, actually, you're in an awful home.
Yeah.
Turn around.
Now, this was the right call, Chappelle, because either A, like, this is a bluff and Mr. Roderick is trying to gain leverage in the situation, or there's a monster that's going to kill him whether he turns around or not. So, like, I feel like that this was the only way that, like, if the monster is there behind him, he's dead anyway.
Right. So it's like, might as well get your conversation going. Just keep it going. Keep the party
going. He didn't get dead. So I think he made the right call.
Yeah, he could have turned around and Roderick could have just like got up and punched him in the face or stabbed him or something like that. You don't know. Mm-hmm. And so he was like, nah, I think I'm going to keep looking at you. But once you walk into that house, don't you kind of welcome anything that comes with that?
Yeah, I think that gave him the reason to suspect that there might actually be something there. I mean, he's playing the scene as if he doesn't believe it, which is fine. I mean, shout out Carl Lumbly, who plays Dupont. Love him from Alias. I believe this is his first Flanagan show, if I'm remembering correctly. He's great. But there's no way I'm turning around because there probably might be something there and I don't want to see it. If it's going to kill me, just go ahead
just
and do
it.
Carla Gugino, it's probably you. It's always her with the scary face. I love her.
Let's talk about then this big sprawling investigation, because we find out that Dupin has been working to try to undermine the Usher crime family for 30 years.
Yeah, this is his big white whale. You know, he wants to catch them. They have been able to basically elude everything that's ever been thrown at them. He says, as many of these people are, we see 6 deaths in the last 2 weeks, but this entire lineage is just Teflon. You can't get anything to stick. Not so much as a parking ticket or a speeding ticket have they been able to pin on these people, but he has a plan. He comes in, he does his great opening speech, and he says, you know what? Normally, I'd say we're probably screwed here. They got this amazing lawyer, Arthur Pym, who was probably not even paying attention because he knows nothing's going to stick. But this time, y'all, there is an informant amongst the bunch. You know, there is somebody on the inside who's going to rat them out, and now we have what we need to take them down. And you would think that someone had tried this before. But you could tell this is probably the first time this has ever happened because they actually get a rise out of them. They start kind of whispering like, oh, wait, what's going on? Which one is it? Mm-hmm. And we find out then that maybe everybody in the family doesn't trust that everybody has the best intentions for the money, or at least for the family, the family name. So there is a traitor amongst them, allegedly.
Uh-oh.
And we have to find out who it is.
A lot of that on TV all over the world these days.
A lot of traders. Canada, UK, they're everywhere.
They're everywhere. Yeah. Okay. So should we talk through some of the standouts from the entire Usher clan?
For sure. Let's.
Okay. Ariel, who are some of your favorites and who are they played by?
I love, well, the scenes that were, and they're all like cut mostly back to back, where we're getting to know the kids for the first mm-hmm. time and like meeting them and seeing all the actors who play them is fascinating, because as Roderick says at the beginning, it's six different children from five different mothers. So they're all, you know, they couldn't be more different.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to shout out Kate Siegel, who I love, who is Mike Flanagan's wife and is an amazing actress, who she plays Camille, the daughter Camille. And she's the one with the white hair, like her aunt. Mm-hmm. She's kind of like a media mogul PR specialist. We're not really sure, but she's the one, you know, that has the two assistants. She can basically do no wrong in my book. She's incredible in everything she's in. She's so, in this, she seems like she might be a little bit more ruthless than kind, because, you know, her roles vary. And also, I have to shout out, because of her name, really, what's her?
Victorine.
Tania Miller. Yes, it's Victorine, played by Tania Miller, who's also a well-known quantity in the Flanaganverse. The name Victorine, like, I can't even say the last name, La Fossade, but... she's always great, and she's doing like surgery on monkeys. Chappelle, I didn't really know, you know, what they
it was like a artificial heart or something like that. Like they've been using the family's money to bankroll these little hobbies that they have. Mm-hmm. And so that's why all of these people are very successful, Camille included, because you have this literal wealth, but you also have a wealth of, you know, contacts, and like this, the family's so vast that someone like Camille, who is doing like PR and booking them for different events, she's like, oh yeah, I need this one over on Kimmel, and I need this one to do this show, and I need this one for Vanity Fair, you know? And she has that because she has the most famous family, it seems like, one of the most famous families in the world, it seems. And yeah, you get Victorine, who is a surgeon, like you said, probably on monkeys, where they're doing like they're trying to get like this like clinical trial going. Ariel, she had privileges.
She was given privileges, but that heart did not look like it was up to code.
Mm-hmm. It didn't. And you know, everybody say it with me, bovine. But you know, when you want a heart, bovine. But yeah, so they're talking about experimental paralytics and stuff like that, getting them from the company. So it's like the company is interwoven in all these people's personal lives. But she definitely stood out to me, and she had a partner, Dr. Ruiz, as well. And I thought it was very interesting that she's like, oh, you're coming to dinner because we're about to try to figure out who the informant is. So you got to come. She's like, no, I think I'm good. I don't really want to come. No, you have to come be with the family. And she seems to be welcoming her family, whereas other members of the family seem to be telling their significant others, hey, don't come. Do not come. Mm-hmm. Do not come around. And I think that was that Napoleon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Napoleon, that he was entertaining a fan at his home.
Mm-hmm.
And then the doorbell rang, and then he had to tell this woman to go hide. And then who comes home? None other than his boyfriend, Julius.
Yep. Wow. And Julia's like, hey, babe, I'm back. Where's my dog? Our cat, or whatever the case may be. I'm like, listen, he's cheating on you. He's cheating on you. And he's like, can I meet your family? He's like, no, you cannot. You cannot come around because they mm-hmm. don't know you. There's so many versions of you around here these days. Who knows who you are? He seems like the young kind of playboy of the family, probably like a partier mm-hmm. or something. You
yeah.
know, like the woman he was entertaining was very much a fan. She was taking pictures of him like, you told me to get a selfie with you.
You got to take the phone away. That's what Derek Jeter would do.
Put him in a box. Have the NDAs ready.
Get the gift bag ready.
Yes.
Yes. Like, have your butler walk them out. Yeah. And this Napoleon guy's moving kind of sloppy for somebody who has like a live-in boyfriend.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem with these like rich families. They have like all these like idiot children who don't know how to do anything.
Yeah. And grandkids in this family.
And grandkids. Yeah.
Kids. Leo is super sloppy. But we also meet Tamerlane, who's played by Samantha Sloy, and who Chappelle was on Grey's Anatomy for a time. but she's also a really known, really well-known quantity in the Flanaganverse. She has an app called Blippi or no, Junebug or
no,
something?
No, Blippi, yeah. F Blippi.
F Blippi. And I said that shit.
Yeah.
F Mary Kill, you kill Blippi.
Yeah, I may have paused the Netflix on my iPad and shown one of my kids, what have I been telling you about Blippi all these years? Read this closed captioning.
Blippi is doing what needed to be done. You know, gets involved in the show. This is gonna be a big bump.
Do you know Blippi, Chappelle?
I know the preschoolers go up for Blippi. I don't know Blippi personally, though. Yeah. I know I'm not a Blippi guy. You're a Blippi guy, it seems.
No, I hate Blippi.
You hate Blippi.
Blippi was, you know, all super annoying. I think also that Blippi is a guy. He's like a annoying YouTube guy in like suspenders and everything, like talking to kids. And then I think that Blippi like sold the, like, I think there was like two Blippies. There's like a second Blippi that came along. Like he sold like the act to a different person.
Yes, Blippi. Capitalism. Mm-hmm.
So there's original Blippi and now fake Blippi.
Yeah, so there was the first Blippi, and then in 2021 that a different person took over the role of Blippi.
Well, here Blippi is the competitor to Tamerlane's husband. His name is Bill T.
Bill T.
Bill T. And Bill T is an influencer or something. And I guess Blippi is one of his main competitors. He has 10 million followers. Ariel, would you say Tamerlane is more like a Shiv Roy character?
I think that's what they're going for. Certainly, you know, she has the red hair, so it's hard to not like immediately think of Shiv. Their app is called Goldbug, whatever the hell Goldbug is.
Goldbug.
Yeah, she seems to know, you know, similar to Shiv, she thinks that she has a read on like the entire situation as far as her siblings and the family and the way she kind of like dresses them down. I love when they're all like talking smack about each other as they go through these scenes and like suspecting who the informant is, who's capable of this. She definitely seems like she is not as smart as she thinks she is.
Yeah.
And she's Penny from Grey's Anatomy, which, you know,
yikes.
we cannot stand. We are not allowed to stand. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The Penny stands out there are going up right now. They're mad, but I'm sorry. We said what we said.
You did. You know what you did, Penny.
You know what the hell you did, girl. That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
We didn't even talk about Raul Coley as Napoleon.
Yes.
He's so good. That's all I have to say. He's good in everything.
What else do you know him from?
I know him from iZombie, but then eventually, you know, Midnight Mass, Hide in Bly Manor. I think he's so good. But seeing him in this role, I was like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I almost didn't recognize him because he's so like, I don't know, like greasy and slimy in his personality and his looks in this. Whereas normally he's like a sweet, he has played like a sweeter, good natured person.
Yeah. Okay. Ariel, we have Henry Thomas here. Shout out to Henry Thomas. Elliot from E.T. is here.
Wow. And thankfully not wearing super unnatural, weird looking contacts like he did in Haunting of Hill House. It was just like a really strange choice that they made.
Now, but, Akiva would tell you that the scariest thing that Henry Thomas has ever done was E.T.
I saw E.T. recently for the first time in theaters. I think it was last year when the anniversary was.
I had
the VHS at home and like, my brother liked it, but whatever. I had only seen parts of it. I thought it was good. I think Drew Barrymore was really good in it. But yeah, some of that stuff was more disturbing than fun. some of the puppets.
What?
And some of the
work. What? You know, it doesn't hold up 40 years later?
Listen, I have my things. Maybe E.T. isn't one of my things.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. Yeah. But yeah. I have love and respect for it.
So Henry Thomas. Frederick. Yeah. Frederick. Yeah. He's Frederick Chappelle.
Sure.
So They say, I'm looking at a article that is like all of the bios of the characters. And Henry Thomas says that his character of Freddy is a composite of Donald Trump Jr., Hunter Biden, and Fabio.
Where's the
what
Fabio
a trifecta.
But where did Fabio come from? Where is he?
Yeah, I don't know.
Not sure.
What about him is Fabio?
I don't know.
Did we not? We must not have gotten to that part yet because I've seen nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did he date one of the women from For Love or Money?
Probably. Here, Thomas.
Does he use I Can't Believe It's Not Butter?
Did you ever use I Can't Believe It's Not Butter? I know this is off topic. But
I'm sure I have. Yeah.
But it wasn't butter, right?
I think it's margarine.
It was margarine.
Technically.
Mm, yeah. Don't love that. Butter guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But his character is Frederick. He is seemingly the favorite child from everybody else's point of view, or at least he's the most willing to
the
suck
Kendall.
Up. Yeah. He's mm-hmm. he's most willing to suck up to his dad. He's like, Dad, what do you want me to do? Dad, da, 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 da. He's always complimenting the stepmom who's young, who they all hate. And every time he says something, they roll their eyes. They literally call him Frederick because they said he's the favorite and they should have named him that because it would have sounded like Roderick. But also, they kind of think he's kind of a fraud. But we see him, his wife, who is it Cake?
That she was created what Is It Cake, right? That's like my only read. That yeah. was like, oh, Netflix.
Crossover.
Netflix.
Yeah. His wife has Cake. And she makes Starbucks cakes and other cakes, book cakes, and all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like the family has seen that trick one too many times.
Wait, mm-hmm. okay. That was my next question. Like, this is not... I haven't seen Is It Cake? But, like, this does not look impressive, right? Like, it's... I know I couldn't do this, to be clear. I'm not saying I could do better, but... The book itself, I was like, that kind of looks like cake.
It kind of looks like cake. It mm-hmm. doesn't look like a book. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Starbucks cup was probably more impressive than the cake was. We've seen way more than that, better than that on Is It Cake? Or you could check out Is It Cake 2 on Netflix if you want the, you know, the upper echelon of fake cakes.
How about Prospero?
Prospero.
No?
Prospero.
You feel it? He's got big ideas.
He has ideas. He wants to market Glenfiddich. I always thought it was Glenfiddich, but whatever. Glenfiddich, and Madeline, his aunt, like, can't say it with more disdain. She's mm-hmm. like, your idea that you have thought about for a whole year is to open, like, the poorest man's Soho house, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it? You're just going to, like, overcharge for a whiskey? And he's like, listen, I have numbers.
It's not just whiskey,
an experience. He's selling an experience.
An experience. You go there.
Hedonism.
Stuff happens. Yeah.
It's where the freaky stuff is going down. They grab the can opener. They grab the thumbtacks. They grab the whipped cream. It's all the things. Sorry, wrong show. But, he apparently is getting a family loan. So one thing that we know is that... that Roderick is like hell-bent on uplifting the entire family. He said, if you are Usher, I got you. And so it sounds like what thing he does is when people come into age, he's willing to give them a huge loan to start off their business. Now, Logan Roy would never. But this guy here is like, no, bring me your proposal. You have time. And then we will figure out a way to give you this money. So even though Madeline and Roderick are completely against this guy's Prospero's like his idea, they're still holding out hope that they can give him the loan because they really want everybody to be successful. It's just that his idea is just a nightclub.
Mm-hmm.
A chain of nightclubs.
Yeah. And we haven't talked too much about Mark Hamill, and this is so fun to have him here because, Ariel, I can't really recall another non-Star Wars role that I know, and he's done a ton of voice work in his career, Mark Hamill. But as an actor... Like, I don't remember ever seeing Mark Hamill in anything else.
Yeah, there are so few roles that aren't tied to, because like you said, I mean, you know, obviously most famous for some of us, at least his voice work for voicing the Joker in the Batman cartoon. And a lot of mm-hmm. his, even his more recent, quote unquote, he's had a couple of like on the Flash TV show, a couple of like comic book adjacent projects. And I think that all kind of falls under that same umbrella. But yeah, very, very few roles from, he was even in Invincible. I forgot about that. He was a voice on that. Very few roles that aren't mm-hmm. either Star Wars or his voice. There was a movie called The Machine earlier this year that I didn't see, but Yeah, I wonder if now that he's
it was
older.
A Netflix movie, and then we ended up not covering it. It was with a comedian, Bert Kreischer. Chappelle, are you familiar with his work?
I don't know none of these people. I don't know Mark Hamill. I don't know Bert Kreischer.
Yes, you do know Mark Hamill. It's Luke Skywalker.
Chappelle doesn't Star Wars.
That's never come across.
Bert Kreischer, he's a stand-up comedian. He's famous for he takes his shirt off during his stand-up comedy, and he does not look like Fabio.
Oh, okay. No, I don't know him either. Oh, this is Luke.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. This is the guy, huh? Yeah. That's crazy. I would have never. You could have gave me $1 billion, and I'd have been like, "Who? Mm-hmm. Wow."
They call him the Pym Reaper.
Yeah, that was a dope name.
Pym. Yeah.
Yeah. The only Pym I know is what from Ant-Man.
Oh,
Hank. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so a huge ensemble cast here, and so we get like this big setup, and it turns out that somebody here is an FBI informant, and so we get everybody together, and we tell them that, hey, there is going to be a huge payout for turning in who the informant is.
Yes, they have to sign NDAs, they pass around the paperwork, like, okay, y'all, here is an NDA, and here is the paperwork saying, okay, you know that if you are the informant, you are going to lose your inheritance. And that's the one thing that all these people hold dear. The sister Madeline, she says this throughout the episode. She's like, they will do whatever it takes to protect that inheritance. And so if we get them to sign off on this, not only will they be, you know, putting themselves at risk, but also I'll be able to kind of eyeball them and see who's not telling the truth. She's like, if I look at them in the eyes, I'll be able to tell you. And the other, you know, fail stuff that they've implemented is that he's putting a bounty on the head of the person who is doing this. So they are now incentivized to find out who the traitor is amongst them, because then they could get extra money. And we love money in this family.
Especially when it's $50 million. Like,
yeah. 50 M's on your head, boy.
Why? And this is so smart, because, like, why hire someone else to figure it out when you can just use the children against each other, the family to work against each other? It's like actually pretty genius, even though it's kind of evil.
All right, and we're bouncing around through time, and by the end of the first hour, we end up seeing where Roderick Usher is at another one of the funerals, and he looks back and sees six of the people that have passed away that are up in the second tier of the church. I guess nobody else can see them, and I don't know if this is like an omen of what's to come, but by the end of the first episode, Roderick Usher falls to the ground, bleeding from the nose. Is he dead? I don't know.
I thought that the events at the house were taking place after the funeral. That's how I thought about it. Yeah. I didn't. So I figured this was before he goes and talks to and confesses to everything. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I watched it a second time because I was watching it early late last night, which I was like, okay, this is where Flanagan
does
his best work. Yeah, yep. Is when it's spooky in real life and I can watch the spooky thing. I hate doing that to myself, but here we are. But when I watched it again, I realized, yeah, to me, it does seem like the interrogation is taking place after the second funeral, unless it was the first. Oh no, yeah, because he said I buried the rest of my children today. So like, yeah, it is the second funeral. So the first time I watched it, I thought he had died, but the second time I'm watching it, I'm like, I think he survives this, because his sister is all about like, you know, turn, get that whole hospital wing. No press. You know, like we need the best care. So it seems like he might be okay, but clearly this might be the incident. You know, seeing the effed up Harley Quinn in the car, and then the like crow above him, which he saw at the bar when he first met Carlo Gugino's character. This might be the event that like incentivizes him or scares him into confessing everything later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how I read it too. You know, that we do get the jump scare from that Joker-esque character and I was like, what? Where did that come from? Yeah. You know,
like, that seems like more American Horror Story. Like, is it the circus one that they did? Like, it was so
right.
Weird.
Yeah, it's like, what? Oh, so we're bringing in random, you know, jesters now. But yeah, that's exactly what happened. He got scared and then he fell down and he's bleeding. And they're like, oh, yeah, call a van. Don't call the hospital because we can't get the news on this. You know, like they're going to take care of him. But I do think that this is what leads him to kind of recounting all this information for Mr. Dupont. Rob, we also get one of the flashbacks throughout this episode where they show him and Madeline at a young age, younger.
Yeah.
Like leaving like at a diner. And it seemed like they were trying to get an alibi for something, Rob.
Yeah, I thought it was a bar that yeah. It looked like that they had done something. Maybe like, I don't know if they committed a murder and they wanted to be seen there on New Year's Eve, 1979.
Yeah. Do you remember where you were at New Year's Eve 1979?
I was probably like, parked in front of a TV somewhere.
Ariel, where were you?
I was still undead.
Mm-hmm. Same.
I was still buried in someone's backyard.
Oh my I was hanging God. Out with Ariel.
Yeah. It was you who buried me. Yeah, we get the, we see them, first of all, young Roderick played by Zach Guilford.
Yes.
People know from Friday Night Lights, but also has been in his big Flanagan show was Midnight Mass, which is a great one. I know it's Chappelle's favorite, like he said.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. QB1. Here he is. like Chappelle.
Wasn't QB1, but sometimes, you got to step up.
He wasn't QB1 when it started, but by the end he was.
Awful stuff. But yes, he rose. He rose to the occasion. But we meet him and Madeline when they're dressed as Daisy from Great Gatsby and Gatsby from Great Gatsby, which I think is fascinating because this is so dumb and nerdy. But like F. Scott Fitzgerald, who wrote Great Gatsby, used a lot of his previously written short stories and details from those short stories to create the overall narrative and characters from Great Gatsby. So I think it's like an interesting layering piece to like how the Edgar Allan Poe stories are now making the story.
Yeah.
But they meet Carla Gugino, who is always creepy and great in these shows. And she's a bartender, but then she has that like crow above her.
I think it's a raven.
A raven, thank you, coming will come back and haunt certainly Roderick in his older age in the final scene of the episode. But she's talking a lot about like, she picks up on the fact that they have like weird stuff on their hands and what that was about. We don't know. I mean, we can speculate about what they did. It has to do with the company, I guess. I'm not really sure because ostensibly they were maybe already had been given the reins to the company or maybe now they're 18. We're not really sure how old they are. But then later on, Carla Gugino's character is talking about they're sitting together and she's talking about how they're existing outside of time. To me, this was like, if there is a curse, this is like where the curse might have originated from, because she's giving like all kinds of creepy vibes. And she was the one, in my estimation, that's like behind the mask in the balcony when he keeps looking back in the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the Edgar Allan Poe of it all. Like, do we know, are each of the episodes in the series, is each one sort of like based off of one of the Edgar Allan Poe short stories, or is it just sort of like the whole series is just like a mishmash of like all of the Edgar Allan Poe stories put together?
I really think it's a mishmash. Like, I think some of the episode titles point to.
Yeah, I think all of the episode titles are the names of different Poe stories.
Right. So I have yet to see, but my instinct would be like it's more of a mishmash. But if it turned out that like each one had like elements of the story in its title, I think that would be really cool. But I think already here we're seeing even like some of the names. Most importantly, this is the thing that stuck out to me, like Prospero. I know is from I did read some.
Yeah, I think every name is like a name from a Poe story.
Yeah. And only some of them I was familiar with. So like immediately it's just like jumping off the screen at you of like, this is Edgar Allan Poe. Like, I get it. So I think the more interesting thing would be certainly as far as like being able to clock or predict things, it would be cooler if it was a mishmash and not like as one-to-one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chappelle, anything else for you about the premiere of The Fall of the House of Usher?
Yes. I liked it. I liked this a lot. I thought that even just knowing that you do have that Poe through line throughout this, it does make it a lot more interesting to where I really want to go and find out how they tie all that stuff together. This does set the scene for potentially what is kind of like a murder mystery in a way, or, you know, even like you said, a lot of like the Knives Out DNA and like trying to find out who did it and how. There's a lot of time jumping, so it's not going to be a linear conversation a lot of the times, it seems. And so it'd be cool because then, you know, you can kind of go on a journey for this story. It is not that spooky. So if you're listening to this and you did not watch it, I was not afraid of anything. Like a couple jump scares, but I wasn't afraid.
Yeah, I really thought this was going to be more of like a monster show, like a haunted house. And really, when I watched it and was really, you know, getting more succession than anything scary, I was like, okay, this is a show for me.
Right. And this is good timing because we know such like the hit that Succession was. And so for this to come out, you know, so closely, you know, in succession to Succession, you know, then I think it's going to be able to capture a lot of the people who maybe aren't interested into the horror genre, but they do kind of like the political stuff within, you know, wealthier families, you know, the same thing that drew people to Succession. So I'm thinking that if you haven't watched it yet, check it out. It's a good time, but also it's not extremely scary, at least not the first episode. I'll be watching the rest of it very soon to find out if it's, you know, if it's scarier throughout.
Yeah. I'm not that brave, and this was not scary.
It was not scary, y'all. You could check this one out. And then, of course, go check out some of the other works of Flanagan, because, like I said, I've liked them. I know Ariel and Latanya.
Show this to your kids instead of Blippi.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't show this to your kids. But you
don't tell me how to raise my kids, Chappelle.
No. Don't let Rob tell you how to raise your kids if you're going to be having them watching this. Because when your child is knocking on your door, mommy, I'm scared.
Oh, I hate that.
Oh, yeah. Now you hate it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, overall, I liked it. Ariel, thank you for coming and taking us through this.
Yeah, this is I'm really excited to walk through the rest of it and watch it and be able to just not feel guilty and not skip ahead. I really wanted to watch the second episode, but I couldn't because I can't trust myself to not spoil in this context. But yeah, I'm really interested to know what the hell happened that night when they met at that bar. And the DuPont piece specifically that he says, oh, everyone wonders what happened that night and what could have happened. It's really important. And at the end, he's saying, Roderick is saying, it's time. So what does that mean? It's time for what? We shall see. Okay. And yeah, if you are looking for that like super spooky, you know, haunted house show, I highly recommend the first one, The Haunting of Hill House. I think it's a really good family drama story that happens to be horror, like I said. And that is legitimately scary. Like I remember watching that. I was in Texas, actually, Chappelle, randomly with some friends. We were like,
I don't
watching
remember getting the text.
And that was before my
I don't think so.
Small state.
Actually, no.
Very small state. But yeah, like I said, we are going to be covering it on full spoiler recaps, that new feed on Pusher Recaps, myself and LaTanya, who I guess are Flanagan experts. And Grace and Jess are the full-time hosts. We're just guests. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be talking about the whole series.
Not
so if you want to check
guests,
out
the guests.
A guest.
The guests.
The post-show recaps.
On the post-show
recaps.
So
we'll be talking about the whole series once you watch the whole thing and want to hear about it.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for being here with us to talk about the fall of the House of Usher. We need to figure out what are we talking about on our 101st edition of Nothing But Netflix. And Chappelle, can I tell you that there is something, there's actually a lot of stuff. Like, I feel like that we were in a little bit of a dry spell on Netflix in September. And now I feel like there's a lot of things that are coming up that are of interest. The couple that are like coming out this week, we got a movie, Old Dads, which looks like something that we might like to talk about. There's some interesting stuff. There's a series called Bodies, which is a dystopian series. But the one that's on my mind is this new series, a reality. You know how we love the Netflix reality. And there's a new show called Surviving Paradise. And the premise is the setup that it looks like a regular, you know, temptation type. Hot dummies hanging out, too hot to handle, adjacent. And then the lights go out. they kicked them out of the mansion, and now they are living in the woods, trying to survive.
Them survive.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, we got to watch it. This is kind of our thing. We have to do this one.
I don't know if they're going to vote people out or what, or just it's like who's going to tap out, but it looks really, really interesting.
So the twist of the show, not to spoil anything, is that they can out-scheme and out-strategize their opponent and potentially make it back to the resort. So I think the goal is to honestly to try to outmaneuver each other to try to get to the resort to where they can then compete for a cash prize. But they have to first survive paradise. And so, Rob, this is our thing, right? If we're not doing this on nothing but Netflix, what is this podcast?
What are we even doing? So Surviving Paradise looks like the one to check out next weekend.
Yeah, it's our 101st episode, but it's only our 101st episode. And so we have that and more things to come. I'm sure that like you said, we were in a dry spell, but it does feel like Netflix is getting kind of wet. You know, it's a wet spell coming up. And so I'm excited to see
an El Nino.
Yeah, even. I'm excited to see what we do moving forward.
El Nino would be like a good ship name for us. Like Chappelle Nino. Yeah.
Chappelle Nino.
Los Ninos.
Yeah.
Los Ninos. The boys. The boys. Them kids.
Los Netflix Ninos.
Yes. Yes. They're changing the name. 101 episode and now we're rebranding. El Nino. Yeah. And then I wouldn't be mad if we double back for old dads. It does look like a fun time to talk about.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that those are always fun to talk about on nothing but Netflix, but you know, the more stuff keeps coming, you know?
Yeah. And it's still spooky season. So we might have time to get one more spooky thing in if we decide to talk about bodies or the devil on trial. You know, there's a few things out there. So I'm very happy for this season of Netflix and what's to come for nothing but Netflix moving forward.
Okay. Ariel, what's coming up for you? I know you got a lot of other podcasts going on over on Post Show Recaps.
Ay-ay-ay. Too many, arguably. Covering
really?
Movies. Be quiet, Shabba. Covering movies with Grace every week. Post Show Recaps Theater. That's always fun. Believe it or not, we will be covering the Taylor Swift concert movie.
Yes.
What?
I've seen it. I didn't have to pay $1,000. And let me tell you, I'm glad I didn't have to pay $1,000.
Oh!
No, but I have positive things to say, yeah. But look out for that.
Is it just the concert or is it like, is there a plot?
It's literally like they film the concert across 2 or 3 days at SoFi Stadium in LA and they just cut it up into a movie.
Is there like backstage, like behind the scenes? No, it's just the same thing you would see if you were in
those classic old school concert movies where they kind of like throw in extra stuff, you know, take you like private moments with the... No, none of that. None
okay.
Of that.
Hey, y'all are
but it's and it's still 2 hours and 50 minutes.
250
Warn people, this is like Avengers Endgame level stuff. Oy. Besides that, covering the morning show, Apple TV Plus's show with Grace. Also, that show is completely unhinged. I kind of wish that was on Netflix so you all had watched that. And covering Grey's Anatomy with Chappelle monthly. We'll be back this week. Listen, there was a strike. Don't roll your eyes, Chappelle. There was a strike.
I didn't roll my eyes. I didn't see you roll my eyes.
But we'll be back with ranking later this week, this coming week. So I'm excited to get back into Grey's land because, you know, the writer strike is over, but the actor strike isn't. So it's a little bit of a weird time. But I'm always retweeting what I'm covering on my podcast on Twitter, whatever it's called now, at that other area. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's still called Twitter. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, I say that.
Yeah. All right. Well, Ariel, thank you for being here with us. Very fun to talk about the show here with you today and looking forward to the full coverage over on Post Show Recaps.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for having me. And for the 100th episode, I couldn't be more honored.
Yes. Well, thank you for being here. And Chappelle, what's coming up for you?
Well, I too am over on Post Show Recaps, obviously talking about Grey's Anatomy, but you and I are covering Suits. Suitspodcast.com, daily Suits coverage. We're almost to the end of season 4 at this point, but you can jump in whenever you want to if you're trying to binge watch Suits or if you just want a fun, short podcast to listen to every day. Me and Rob are bringing you constant Suits coverage around the clock, basically, or at least, you know, for the next few months. And so check that out. Go to suitspodcast.com and subscribe wherever you get your podcast.
Yeah, we're almost halfway.
Yeah, well, I think technically we are, because wow, it's like nine seasons and we're like four and
well,
four and three
yeah,
quarters.
there's nine seasons, but we're only in the middle of season four. So I kind of feel like yeah, the middle of, is it the middle of season five would be the exact halfway point? I think
season
like,
nine is a little shorter too. So
yeah.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, we're creeping up on the halfway point if we haven't already hit it, but it's a great time over there on suitspodcast.com. You could also find me on the post show recaps talking about The Walking Dead. Fear of the Walking Dead is about to start back up because The Walking Dead, Daryl Dixon, is gone. And then after Fear of the Walking Dead, we're going to have Walking Dead Rick Schoen show. Rick and Michonne are back. The ones who lived are back. And so me and Jess and AJ and Josh are going to be back as well to talk about that on Post Show Recaps. On Rob Has a Podcast, I'm still talking about Below Deck with Sasha every week. We're talking about Below Deck Med right now. You can catch us live on YouTube. And then I think I will be on the Sunday recap episode of Big Brother as well to talk about that. So check that out too. And then, of course, more Nothing But Netflix to come. So, you know, having a great time over here, Rob. Follow me on Twitter at Chappelle's_show to keep up with all that stuff. And then potentially some hitting or quitting coming up as well. We'll mm-hmm. see.
Yeah. All right. Well, Chappelle, great job here on our 100th Nothing But Netflix. Can't believe it. I feel like we just got started talking about Seinfeld and Squid Game. And now look at us in here talking about all this other Netflix stuff over the last couple of years. And they keep... The Netflix ain't slowing down.
No, this is a good business model. We picking Netflix was like gave us a well of just like options, right? We have a ton. And then even we break our rules a little bit every now and then. You know, and check out another streaming platform. But Netflix keeps us fed, you know? Mm-hmm. So this has been a fun ride. But if we wanted to do another 100 episodes, I think we keep eating.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for joining us. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.